Defense of Humanity on this 18th day of February 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of the Anti-Corruption Society homepage. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website, Anti-Corruption Society, called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of the home page. Our guide has been viewed more than 48,000 times since it was posted 2 years ago and is now in its 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more info and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. And we've talked a lot about the fact our government is just another corporation on this show. So I want to apologize to the listeners. I know I've been kind of absent for multiple nights since January. There has been an illness in my family, a very significant one, and my time had to be divided elsewhere. Things seem to be improving, though, so I'm hoping that things are moving in the right direction and I won't be taking so much time off, and because I got a lot of good stuff to share and a lot of good programs planned for the future. Tonight, however, I came across these two interesting speeches, okay? One was by Robert Kennedy Jr. at the National Press Club on February 15th, where he made an important announcement. The other one that I just happened on to was the commencement address at Caltech, which took place in June 10th, 2016. They're so radically different. For those who are listeners and have been for quite a while, you're going to notice the difference immediately. If you're new to this show, or God forbid, new to RBN, this is kind of going to surprise you that we've got these completely oppositional opinions about what is vaccine science. What is the real vaccine science? So I'd like to start by first giving this professor from Harvard School of Medicine, apparently he was in charge of surgery there, and he's the one who gave this speech to Caltech commencement. And he was explaining to them about what real science is. So let's hear what Dr. Atul, it's A-T-U-L, Gawande has to say. He has actually written many articles. He's been on PBS programs. To me, it looks like he's preparing himself to be like Sanjay Gupta or some of these guys who are on TV all the time, giving the established medical opinion to the public who is completely unaware that there's a whole nother world going on behind the scenes, and that what we have today, for the most part, as Dr. David Lewis explained in several interviews and wrote in his book, what we have today is science for sale. And I'm going to have Dr. Lewis back on, I hope, soon, because it's brilliant what he exposed. But let's listen to this this physician from Harvard, a Harvard professor, as he talks to these unsuspecting graduating students at Caltech. Can we hear that?
Presented by Caltech.
Now, it is my great pleasure to introduce our speaker for the day, Atul Gawande. Dr. Gawande is the Samuel O. Thier Professor of Surgery at Harvard Medical School and also serves as a professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He's a surgeon, and he also writes very well, and he's the chairman of Lifebox, a non-for-profit organization created with the goal of making surgery safer worldwide. Dr. Gawande writes on significant medical and public health challenges in the 21st century. He is a staff writer for The New Yorker and has written 4 New York Times bestsellers, including Being Mortal, Medicine and What Matters in the End, published in 2014. His perspective on medicine, science, technology, and the humanities brings together important elements of a Caltech education, and we are fortunate to have him with us today. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Gawande.
Congratulations, class of 2016. If Caltech has done its job, and I kind of suspect it has, you're all scientists now. English and history graduates, sorry, all 4 of you. Even you are too. Science, you have to understand, is not a major and it's not a career. It's a commitment to a systematic way of thinking, a commitment to an allegiance to a way of building knowledge and explaining the universe through testing and factual observation. The thing is, this isn't a normal way of thinking. It is unnatural and counterintuitive. It has to be learned. Scientific explanation stands in contrast to the wisdom of divinity and experience and common sense. Common sense once told us that the sun moves across the sky and that being out in the cold gives you colds. But a scientific mind recognized that these intuitions were only hypotheses. They had to be tested. When I came to college from my Ohio hometown, the most intellectually unnerving thing I discovered was how wrong many of my assumptions were about how the world works, whether it was the natural or the human-made world. I looked to my professors and fellow students to supply my replacement ideas, and then I returned home with some of those ideas and told my parents everything they'd got wrong, which I'm sure they loved. But even then, I was just replacing one set of received beliefs for another, and it took me a long time to recognize the particular mindset that scientists have. The great physicist Edwin Hubble, speaking here at Caltech's commencement in 1938, said, "A scientist has a healthy skepticism, suspended judgment, and disciplined imagination, not only about other people's ideas, but about his or her own. The scientist has an experimental mind, not a litigious one." As a student, this seemed to me to be more than a way of thinking. It was a way of being, a kind of weird way of being. You're supposed to have skepticism and imagination, but not too much. You're supposed to suspend judgment, yet exercise it. Ultimately, you hope to observe the world with an open mind, gathering facts and testing your expectations against them, and then you hope to make up your mind and either affirm or reject the ideas at hand. But you also hope to accept that nothing is ever completely settled, that all knowledge is only probable knowledge. A contradictory piece of evidence can always emerge. Hubble said it best when he said, "The scientist explains the world by successive approximations." The scientific orientation has proved to be immensely powerful. It's allowed us to nearly double our lifespan during the last century, to increase our global abundance, and to deepen our understanding of the universe. Yet scientific knowledge is not necessarily trusted out in the world. Partly that's because it's incomplete. But even where the knowledge provided by science is overwhelming, people often resist it. Sometimes they outright deny it. Many people continue to believe, for instance, despite massive evidence to the contrary, that childhood vaccines cause autism. They don't. That people are safer owning a gun. They are not. That genetically modified crops are harmful. On balance, they've been beneficial. That climate change is not happening. It is. Vaccine fears, for example, have persisted despite decades of research showing them to be unfounded. Some 25 years ago, a statistical analysis suggested a possible association between autism and a preservative, thimerosal, used in vaccines to prevent bacterial contamination. That analysis turned out to be flawed, but the fears took hold. Scientists then carried out hundreds of studies and found no link. Still, fears persisted. Countries removed the preservative, but experienced no reduction in autism, yet fears grew. A British study then claimed a connection between the onset of autism in 8 children and timing of their vaccination for measles, mumps, and rubella. That paper was then retracted due to findings of fraud. The lead author had falsified and misrepresented the data. Then repeated efforts to confirm the findings were unsuccessful, and nonetheless, vaccine rates plunged, leading to outbreaks of measles and mumps that last year sickened tens of thousands of children across the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and resulted in deaths. People are prone to resist scientific claims, your claims, when they clash with intuitive beliefs. They don't see measles or mumps around anymore. They do see children with autism, and they see a mom who says, "My child was perfectly fine until he got a vaccine and became autistic." Now, you can tell them correlation is not causation. You can say that children get a vaccine every 2 to 3 months for the first couple of years of their life, so onset of any illness is bound to follow vaccination for many kids. You can say that science shows no connection. But once an idea has got embedded and become widespread, it becomes very difficult to dig it out of people's brains, especially when they do not trust scientific authorities. And we're experiencing a significant decline in trust in scientific authorities. The sociologist Gordon Goshaw studied U.S. survey data from 1974 to 2010 and found some deeply alarming trends. Despite our increasing education levels, the public's trust in the scientific community has been decreasing. This is particularly true among conservatives, even educated conservatives. In 1974, conservatives with college degrees had the highest level of trust in science and in the scientific community. Today, they have the lowest. But that pattern is across the board. We have today multiple factions putting themselves forward as what Goshaw described as their own cultural domains, generating their own knowledge base that is often in conflict with the cultural authority of the scientific community. Some are religious groups challenging evolution, for instance. Some are industry groups, as with climate skepticism. Others tilt more to the left, such as those that reject the medical establishment. As varied as these groups are, they're all alike in one way. They all harbor sacred beliefs they do not consider open to question. To defend those beliefs, few dismiss the authority of science today. They dismiss the authority of the scientific community. People don't argue back by claiming divine authority anymore. It can make matters incredibly confusing. They argue back by claiming to have the truer scientific authority. You have to be able to recognize the difference between claims of science and of pseudoscience. Science's defenders have identified 5 hallmark moves of pseudoscientists that you need to know. They argue that the scientific consensus emerges from a conspiracy to suppress dissenting views. They produce fake experts who have views contrary to established knowledge, but do not have a credible scientific record. They cherry-pick the data and papers that challenge the dominant view as a means of discrediting an entire field. They deploy false analogies and other logical fallacies, and they set impossible expectations of research When scientists produce one level of certainty, the pseudoscientists insist they achieve another. It's not that some of these approaches never provide valid arguments. Sometimes an analogy is useful, or higher levels of certainty are required. But when you see some or all of these tactics deployed, you know you're not dealing with a scientific claim anymore. Pseudoscience is the form of science without the substance. The challenge about what to do about this, how to defend science as a more valid approach to explaining the world, has actually been addressed by science itself. Scientists have done experiments. In 2011, two Australian researchers compiled many of the findings in the Debunking Handbook, and the results are sobering. The evidence is that rebutting bad science doesn't work. In fact, it commonly backfires. Describing the facts that contradict an unscientific belief actually spreads familiarity with the belief and strengthens the conviction of believers. It's just the way the brain operates. Misinformation sticks, in part because it gets incorporated into a person's mental model of how the world works. Stripping out the information, therefore, fails because it threatens to leave a painful gap in that mental model, or no model at all. So then what is a science believer to do? What's a science graduate to do? Is your future just an unending battle of warring claims? And I don't think it is. Emerging from the findings was also evidence that suggested how you build trust in science. Rebutting bad science may not be effective, but asserting the true facts of good science is, and including the narrative that explains those facts is even better. You don't focus on what's wrong with the vaccine myths, for example. Instead, you point out giving children vaccines has proved far safer than not. How do we know? Because of a massive body of evidence, including the fact that we've tried the alternate experiment before. Between 1989 and 1991, U.S. vaccination among poor urban children dropped. The result? 55,000 cases of measles and 123 deaths. The other important thing, then, is to also expose the bad science tactics that are being used to mislead people. Bad science has a pattern, and helping people recognize the pattern arms them to come to more scientific beliefs themselves. Having a scientific understanding of the world is fundamentally about how you judge which information to trust. It doesn't mean pouring through the evidence on every question yourself.
Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Let's finish up and listening to the commencement address by Dr. Atul Gawande.
You can't. Knowledge has become too vast and complex for any one person, scientist or otherwise, to convincingly master more than corners of it. Few working scientists, even at Caltech, can give a ground-up explanation of the phenomenon they study. They rely on information and techniques borrowed from other scientists. Knowledge and the virtues of the scientific orientation lives far more in the community than the individual, in this community. When we talk of a scientific community, we're pointing to something critical, that advanced science is a social enterprise characterized by intricate division of cognitive labor. Individual scientists, no less than the quacks, can be famously bullheaded, overly enamored of pet theories, dismissive of new evidence, and heedless of fallibility. Remember Max Planck's observation, science advances one funeral at a time. But as a community endeavor, it is beautifully self-correcting. Beautifully organized, it is not. When you see it up close, the scientific community looks like a rickety vehicle for getting to truth, with its muddled peer review process, badly written journal articles, subtly contemptuous letters to the editor, overtly contemptuous subreddit threads, and pompous pronouncements of the academy. Yet the hive mind swarms ever forward. It now advances knowledge in almost every realm of existence, even the humanities, where neuroscience and computerization are shaping understanding of everything from free will to how art and literature have evolved over time. Today, you become part of the scientific community, arguably the most powerful collective enterprise in human history. In doing so, you also inherit a role in explaining it and helping it reclaim territory of trust at a time when that territory has been shrinking. In my clinic and in my work in public health, I regularly encounter people who are deeply skeptical of even the most basic knowledge established by what journalists label mainstream science, as if the other thing is anything like science. Whether it's facts about physiology, nutrition, disease, medicines, you name it, the doubting is usually among my most, not least, educated patients. Education may expose people to science, but it has a countervailing effect as well, leading people, including you, to be more individualistic and more ideological. The mistake, then, is to believe that the educational credentials that you get today give you any special authority on truth. What you have gained is far more important, an understanding of what real truth-seeking looks like. It's not the effort of a single person, but of a group of people, the bigger the better, pursuing ideas with curiosity, inquisitiveness, openness, and discipline, as scientists, in other words. Even more than what you think, how you think matters. The stakes for understanding this could not be higher than they are today, because we're not just battling today over what it means to be scientists. We're battling over what it means to be citizens. So congratulations, graduates. Welcome to the battle. I know you're going to do us proud.
Well, I think his ending, we're not battling over what it means to be scientists, we're battling over what it means to be citizen. That to me was pretty much nonsensical. But a lot of what he said did make sense to the people who've been looking at this for a long time and exposing what he calls group science, or the scientific community was his words. Which then he goes on to define the scientific community equals consensus science. And then he goes on to describe that as the hive mind of science. I just couldn't believe he said those words. Now, we've talked about this before. For those who didn't hear about this program, we did a program on it. I don't remember the date, but if you go to anticorruptionsociety.com, and you type in expert consensus reports, you'll get the article that we put up in 2014. And the full title is Expert Consensus Reports Are Scientific Mumbo Jumbo. So that's what he's promoting. He's promoting consensus science. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's N-U-M-A-N-A Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
About what is real science, and we're going to kind of focus a little bit on, in general, what he had to say, but more specifically on vaccine science. He also said that these are scientific conclusions people are questioning, and they shouldn't question that, like vaccine safety, GMO, climate change. We shouldn't be questioning those things. They are all, in his mind, real science. In the mind of the people who stood back and listened to both sides, which is what I initially started doing, I had already heard one side, and I thought, well, let me give the other side a chance. I did that in GMO, I did that in climate change, and I did that in vaccines. And when I did that, and I thought for myself, the evidence that we are not being told the truth about those three subjects, the population is being deceived, the evidence was overwhelming to me, and I put some of that on my website. But what they want is us to accept their authority. The authority, he called it, the authority of the scientific community. There's too many people out there, he said, dismissing the authority. Interesting choice of words, of the scientific community. And we just got done explaining how he told us what the scientific community actually is. It's consensus science. And that's what they use, and they even quote it in articles. That's what vaccine science is called in a little talk that was developed by the World Health Organization. They called it consensus vaccine science. They are always calling climate change consensus science. So they're trying to get you to accept this concept of consensus science. And that's why we put that article about expert consensus reports are scientific mumbo jumbo. Because sadly, the expert consensus report technique is touted by the National Academy of Sciences, which means they have been bought and paid for. So much for the National Academy of Sciences. But it was disheartening, although not surprising, to hear him mention the safety of thimerosal, but not bother to mention that it's actually mercury. And to take another swipe at Dr. Wakefield, I hear this all the time. They take a swipe at Wakefield's work, but they never use his name because they don't want to be caught in any legal confusion. So they always bring out the fact, in fact, there was one guy, and he was, you know, he had to reverse his decision. It was proved that his research was fraud, and all of that is untrue. So let's hear from someone who I believe, and I hope you guys, when you get done listening, will agree with me, is actually telling us the truth. And his name is Robert Kennedy Jr. He had a press event at the National Press Club, and it was on February 15th, 2017, where he was announcing a $100,000 award to anyone who could come up with any science whatsoever that could verify that injecting mercury into small children was safe at any level, any amount of mercury, injecting it into small children through vaccines was not toxic. And anyone who can do that, they will receive $100,000. Somebody ought to call up this Dr. Atul Gawande and ask him if he can do it. But let's listen to what Robert Kennedy had to say at that press conference.
I want to announce a challenge today. I want to talk about the issue a little and how I got involved. I got involved because as the president of Waterkeeper Alliance, as attorney for Hudson River Keeper and several of the other keeper movements, I was suing power plants, coal-burning power plants, principally for emitting mercury, which we were concerned about the impacts on fish. FDA said at that time that every freshwater fish in America had dangerous levels of mercury in its flesh. And it was coming principally from these power plants. And I was going around the country speaking about this, and almost many of the times after I'd speak, I'd be approached by mothers, by women. They were presentable, they were smart, they were calm, they weren't hysterical. And they would say to me, that you need to look, my child was injured by a mercury vaccine. And if you're really concerned about mercury exposures to children, you need to look at that vector, because that is the largest source of exposure for our children. And I began reading the science, and I'm very comfortable reading science. I've had over 500 environmental cases, almost all of them involved a scientific controversy, and I couldn't have won those cases if I weren't willing to read science. So I read the science, and I read it intensively, and I was immediately struck by the huge gulf between what CDC and journalists were saying that the science said and what the science actually said. And what I heard from journalists time and again, and what you hear, it's repeated like a mantra, that the link between mercury, that mercury is safe, that the science proves it's safe, that the link between mercury and vaccines and neurodevelopmental disorders is non-existent. So I want to show you here the studies that CDC and journalists have said for years don't exist. These are 240 studies that show that, and they're by the best university scientists, by government scientists, by hospital scientists all over the world, that say that mercury is neurotoxic, that it's causing damage to our children, that when you give it to mice, when you give it to rats, when you give it to hamsters, pheasants, goats, cows, that they develop autism-like symptoms or other neurodevelopmental disorders. These studies show that mercury is linked to the cascade of pediatric neurological neurodevelopmental disorders that began hitting Americans in 1989. The birth cohort, the children who were born in 1989, were the sickest generation of children in the history of our country. CDC says one out of every six of those children has some kind of neurodevelopmental disorder. 43% of them have a chronic disease, a neurodevelopmental disorder, or a food allergy, asthma, eczema, or juvenile diabetes, or an autoimmune disease. This is not normal. 43% of our children have a chronic disease. That is not normal. It began in 1989. 1989 is the year that EPA says is the gateway year. That's the year all of these epidemics began, in that year. So we know this, that genes do not cause epidemics. You need an environmental toxin. So the question that journalists ought to be asking, just parroting what CDC's its safety assurance is, if it's not the thimerosal and vaccines, then what is it? What is the toxin that touched every American demographic in 1989, from Cubans in Biscayne Bay, Miami, to Inuit in Homer, Alaska, and that affects boys disproportionately to girls? Because the toxic that fingerprint for that is mercury. Mercury impacts boys because testosterone amplifies the neurotoxic effect of the mercury molecule. And estrogen wraps the molecule and protects the female brain. So it's mainly boys who got injured. And all of these diseases, ADD, ADHD, OCD, speech delay, language delay, misery disorder, all the sleep disorders, seizures, all of these things, and ASD and autism are impacting boys disproportionately to girls. So you have to match the toxin. A lot of people say, well, maybe it's the glyphosate from the pesticides. Maybe it's PFOA from flame retardants. Maybe it's ultrasound. There's a number of hypotheses. They all should be investigated. But none of them has the timing or the sexual dimorphism that we see, that we need to explain when we look at these disorders. So CDC and journalists for many years have been parroting the assurances that no science exists that actually links the mercury to these illnesses. Here I'm giving you 240 studies that are on PubMed and make that link. We looked up thimerosal and these impacts on PubMed, and we got every study that we could find. We didn't cherry pick them. We got all of them. So here are all of these studies that we found that link it to non-autism neurodevelopmental disorders and other disorders like food allergies. This pile is 81 studies, and I'll let you see it, that link thimerosal exposure to autism. And this is a pile of studies that show that thimerosal is safe. Zero. Not one. None. None that even pretends to. So why is it that journalists have been telling us that there's lots of science out there? Because they're accepting the word of people at CDC. And CDC has to be, CDC, you know, there's been four separate federal studies that have painted CDC vaccine division as a cesspool of corruption. CDC is a vaccine company. It owns 56 vaccines. It sells $4.1 billion of vaccines a year. The people who make decisions in that agency have also financial ties. And the Inspector General of HHS found that up to 97% of the people who are making decisions about vaccine policy either own stock in vaccine companies or are otherwise financially entangled, or maybe financially entangled with the vaccine industry. Oh, and this isn't me saying it. It's the Inspector General of HHS. So CDC has been telling reporters for 13 years that there's studies out there, and no reporter, whenever a reporter says to me, but it's all been proven safe, I say, tell me a study. Because what CDC says is not science. What your doctor says is not science. What NIH says is not science. Science is what appears on PubMed and is written by research scientists. And that this is science. But calling CDC and saying, is Bobby Kennedy wrong about the science, does not prove anything. I can tell you what they're going to say. Yeah, he's wrong. But you journalists have a duty to do more than that. You have a duty to actually look and see what the science says yourselves. And nobody's been willing to do this, no matter all of our pleading and begging from this whole community. I'm going to show you over here. 3 weeks ago, we put a request on our website for mothers to send those stories that are much like Bob's story and much like the story that you're going to hear from Nika LaHood, that they brought their perfectly healthy child in for a wellness visit, that the child got a series of shots, some of them probably containing thimerosal. The child spiked a fever that night, 105 degrees, had seizures, and within 3 months was brain dead. Now, we said, we put out just on our website, tell us if you have that story. Within 13 hours, we had 6,100 women send us details of their particular story, and that's what's in these books. This is not science. What we've been told is not science. It's more akin to religion. It's an orthodoxy. It can't be challenged. It's a taboo to talk about it. That anybody who talks about it is a heretic and has to be harmed or marginalized or called an anti-vax. And yet, you know, one of these stories is not science. Two of them are not science. It's an anecdote. But 6,100 of them, you know, ultimately science is our case studies. That's science. And this is 6,100 case studies here. And you have to ignore, like all orthodoxies, this orthodoxy is anti-science, it's cruel, it's sometimes lethal, and it's misogynistic. It requires anybody who adopts this orthodoxy to say that all of these women who say they know what happened to their child, that these stories have to be dismissed, that these stories are the stories of hysterics, that they're wrong, that they don't know what they saw, that we know better than they do what they saw and what they saw with their child. And that is misogynistic, and is, you know, and that, but that's what it takes. So what we're doing, you know, what Bob and I are announcing today is that we know that journalists don't want to look into the science. So we are going to offer a $100,000 reward. It's called the 100K Challenge. To any journalist or anybody else who can come up with a single, who can point to a single existing study that says that it's safe to inject mercury into little babies or pregnant women at the levels that we are currently injecting them in the flu vaccine. And this isn't a gimmick. We have gotten some of the greatest scientists in America, independent scientists who are not part of this issue, to, and they're government scientists with extraordinary credentials and prestige and internationally respected, who have agreed to act as judges in this contest. So that when you send us, and the rules are here, that we're going to distribute, when you send us this study that you say proves safety, we then submit it to those scientists, and if you're right, we are going to write you a check for $100,000. You're not going to be able to do it. The study doesn't exist. You could not design a study that proved that mercury was safe to inject into kids any more than you could do with lead. Mercury, and I'm going to tell you this. For many years, CDC has been selling this canard to the American public, and it's been swallowed by American journalists. And the reason, you know, because CDC is in a jam. The CDC and FDA are telling pregnant women, don't inject, don't eat tuna fish or don't eat other large fish while you're pregnant because the mercury content is dangerous, will harm your child. There's no safe level of mercury. So people have asked them for years, then why are you allowing or encouraging doctors to inject women when they're pregnant with levels of mercury that are far higher than you can find in a can of tuna. And CDC has made up a excuse for that, a rationale. What they've said is that the methylmercury in fish is less persistent in the body and more toxic, or more persistent in the body and more toxic than the ethylmercury in vaccines.
Okay, let's take a break here and we'll finish up when we come back.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, let's listen to more from Robert Kennedy Jr.
So ethylmercury vaccines leave your body right away, and it is not as poisonous. But CDC's own scientists last month published a massive data review and literature review, which proved that claim to be a hoax. Where CDC is now acknowledging through its own scientists that the that the ethylmercurian vaccines may be 50 times as toxic to the brain as the methylmercury in fish and twice as persistent in the body. And yet, that study that was published by CDC scientists in a respected publication got zero coverage in the mainstream press. So, you know, we need to break this impasse. And I'm going to finish by talking about this. Democracy requires checks and balances. And government, you know, one of the first things that journalists learn when they go to journalism school is that people in power lie. People in authority lie. And it's the job of journalists to check them. You can't just take their word on stuff. Oh, and what we have today in our society, we have an industry. You look at the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmaceutical industry has paid $8 billion out in recent years for pharmaceutical drugs, for lying, for doing off-label marketing, for doing adulteration, for doing all kinds of bad things with their pharmaceuticals. What makes you think that they wouldn't do the same thing with vaccines? Now listen to this. Congress receives more money from the pharmaceutical lobbies. There's more money spent on lobbying by the pharmaceutical industry than any other industry. There are more lobbyists on Capitol Hill from pharma than there are congressmen and senators combined. I've always fought the oil and gas industry in Capitol Hill and thought they were omnipotent. But pharma puts in double to lobbying what oil and gas does. They put in four times what defense and aerospace does. And it's not just the Republicans who take the money, which with those other ones, it's mainly Republicans. Democrats think it's okay to take pharma money too. So they bought up Congress. They own the regulatory agency, which is an arm of the industry. These are the things, these are the institutions that are supposed to be standing between a rapacious industry and our little children. So what's left? Well, the lawyers are there, right? No, because one of the favors that Congress did to this industry was to pass VICA, the Vaccine Compensation Act, which says that it's illegal in this country to sue a vaccine company. So no matter how toxic the ingredient, no matter how reckless the Lyme protocols or procedures, no matter how grievous your child is injured, you cannot sue them.
Okay, we'll be back shortly.
Hard water, then it's likely that lime scale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate lime scale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.